Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live. Coming at you after a disappointing 7-3 loss today at the hands of the Blue Jays. We're going to get into everything here in just a little bit. We have got several different things to unpack. And at this point, y'all, it's not looking pretty as that trade deadline looms on Tuesday afternoon, to be more specific. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're watching live or on the replay, I appreciate the support. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, putting a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you so much for choosing Right on Rangers for your Rangers content. If you got anything that you want to add into the conversation, drop it in the comments section. Got to get something off your chest. You got a question you want to throw out there for everyone watching or for myself. Please, again, drop it in the comments section in the chat. I appreciate it. I've got a few lead-ins today. I'll check comments real quick, and then I'll get into it. Aaron, what's going on, my guy? Thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate you, bud. All right, let's just go into it here. We've got a few things. Trade deadline, I know, is going to be on everybody's mind. What to do now? Rangers have been swept. This is classic, by the way, for exactly what has happened this season. Honestly, Chris Young could not have said it better the other day. I don't know what day the interview was or anything like that. You know how these things go. Sometimes an interview happens, 5 days later it gets published. But CY said it best. It's always one step forward and either one or two steps back with this team this year. I mean, you win 5 straight games. You sweep the White Sox. You win the last game against Baltimore. And then you're going to play a, in my opinion, reeling Toronto Blue Jays team that's trading players left and right. It's just inexcusable that this team got swept this weekend. I know that the John Gray injury is tough luck. There's really nothing you can do about it. And you guys know I have my thoughts about all these pitching injuries. In my opinion, I think there's got to be some accountability. There's way too many pitcher injuries this year, like way too many. And I'm sure that internally they're having those discussions. But you're having this many pitcher injuries and guys that just can't stay healthy. I think that it's malpractice to chalk it up to dumb luck. Again, what are the Rangers doing with their recovery program, with their strength conditioning program? What are they doing that there's this many injuries? Okay, if you want to chalk it up to dumb luck, everybody's doing a great job. It's just dumb luck that all these pitcher injuries are happening. Be my guest. That's not my approach, but you be my guest. I personally think when you have this many pitching injuries, something has to change. Maybe it's not somebody's job, but what you're doing right now is not working to keep pitchers healthy. Again, if you want to just go the blind, you know, hey, it's just stupid luck and whatever, fine. For me, this many injuries, you've got to change something. It doesn't have to be a job, somebody losing it. It has to be something, though. What you're doing right now is not working. And if you're not having those conversations right now within the organization, there needs to be those conversations. It's ridiculous. John Gray has been injured how many times this year? Is this the third injury for John Gray? Second injury? But John Gray, by the way, if you missed it, in warmups, before a first pitch, official pitch had even been thrown, exits the game. Jonathan Hernandez comes in. And I think most of us at home, without being too negative, knew that the game was pretty much doomed from the start. We knew that the game was pretty much doomed from the start. So I did not feel, and you know, I'm mostly glass half full. Guys, you know this. I'm mostly glass half full. But when Gray comes out there, especially after the first inning that the Rangers had as well, where you had prime opportunities to score, and you just didn't push across any runs. Wyatt Langford did absolutely get robbed on a terrible strike three call in the first inning. But after the first inning that the Rangers had up at the plate, followed by Gray leaving the game early, I don't know if there's really anybody, even the biggest Rangers optimist, I really don't know who genuinely thought this game was going to be going well and ending positively in the Rangers' favor. I surely wasn't. When I got the notification and I wasn't watching the game right out the chute, church, family stuff this morning. But when I got the tweets from some of the Rangers media people, that John Gray exited before even throwing a pitch, I pretty much knew how this game was going to go. And I think the Rangers, Jonathan Hernandez, look, any pitcher today, I mean, Mike Lorenzen, I'm so glad that somebody brought this up. Mike Lorenzen going four strong. Look, hey, I'm going to look at the bright side, some of the bright sides of this game. That is one of them. Did Mike Lorenzen improve the trade stock a little bit? Four strong innings to end the game. One earned run, one strikeout, three hits, no walks. Did Mike Lorenzen improve his trade value a little bit today? Hey, maybe so. Maybe that is a silver lining in this. Mike Lorenzen bolsters the trade stock. I can't imagine Mike Lorenzen, Urania are going to be around. And I think, honestly, what I thought about today, y'all, and look, I'm not going to be overreactive here, but what I thought about today, when I saw what the Rangers were doing and when I see what the Blue Jays are doing, the Blue Jays are trading players left and right. They just traded Jansen. They traded Garcia, a reliever, to the Mariners. Right? They have traded Pearson. I think they just traded as well, another reliever. The Blue Jays are trading guys left and right and winning ball games. I think it's possible, not super likely per se, but I think it's possible the Rangers could trade some guys and still win ball games. So if you trade Lorenzen, you trade Urania, you trade some of the bullpen pieces, maybe you trade a bat here or there, Zeke Duran down in AAA, who's on fire right now, by the way. If you haven't been watching what Zeke Duran's been doing, I think he's homered in four consecutive games. So I do think the Rangers at this point need to be selling some guys. I don't know if you're hard selling, but I do think the Rangers need to try and trade away a few guys at this point. And maybe the Rangers still win some ball games. You've got Josh Young coming back. You've got Malley. You've got DeGrom coming back. Who knows what could happen? But I do think at this point, if you're just holding on, hoping that everything works itself out, I don't know if that's the best move long-term for the team, 2025 and beyond. So at this point, I am at a spot where I definitely want Lorenzen, Urania, get value for those guys. I think you could trade an Andrew Heaney at this point. I think trading Andrew Heaney would not be the worst thing in the world. You lose a lefty, absolutely. But at the same time, the Rangers last year really only had one lefty the whole run to the World Series, and he wasn't particularly dependable. He did have some big moments. We're talking Aroldis Chapman. So my argument has always been pretty consistently, you need Heaney for left-handed purposes out in the bullpen because you know Andrew Heaney's going to the bullpen sooner rather than later when everybody starts coming back. I don't know. And I know Andrew Heaney's been one of our best guys. I just think at this point, you could probably stand to trade Andrew Heaney and get some value from him. I just think the Rangers, you don't need to maybe sell Evo. I think maybe you could hang on to a guy like Evo, although he's probably the guy that could get us the most value. I think the Rangers could still win some games down the stretch, maybe make it interesting. But this was pretty much worst case scenario getting swept this weekend. Even if you just won one game out of the three, I think you probably would have still been in a situation where you could have been buyers, not even really a soft seller. You could have been buyer. But I think now getting swept, you really look at things. And I think the Rangers need to maximize some of the guys that are on expiring contracts. Would I trade everybody? No, I don't think I'd be hard selling this team. But would I be listening to everybody right now on expiring? Yes, I would. Would I be listening on Evo? Yes, I'd be listening on Evo. That doesn't mean you pull the trigger. But let's hear the Cardinals' best offer for Nate Eovaldi. Right? The Cardinals were linked to Evo. I'm sure there's a couple other teams that would love to talk about Evo. And I think Evo is starting tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right. Eovaldi starting tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe CY is going to see how tomorrow goes in St. Louis, see if we can get a win. It does look like the positive here, y'all, is it does look like the Astros are going to lose today. So Astros lose. I think the Mariners did win today and locked that up, but the Astros are losing 6-2 going to the bottom of the ninth inning in Houston. So barring a Dodgers meltdown, Astros are going to drop a game. So the Rangers are still only 4.5 games out with, 56 games left? That's not totally a foregone conclusion that they could come back, but it's not good. Let's just say that. It's not good. 4.5 games out, losing this entire series to a team that's selling the optics are just not great. So at this point, if I'm CY, I'm listening to everybody. You want one of my guys who's on an expiring contract, or maybe a guy who is not on an expiring contract, but maybe has a year and a half left this year and next year under contract. I'm listening. Now, could CY maybe make a long-term play? Like, for instance, Paredes, who we've been talking about, Isaac Paredes from the Tampa Bay Rays, just got traded to the Cubs. The Cubs are not in a great spot this year, right? If you look at the standings, the Cubs are last place in the Central. They're 5.5 games out of a wild card spot, 10 games out of division. They went out and got Isaac Paredes, a guy that the Rangers were interested in. So why would they do that? Well, it's because they feel confident about 2025, and the Rangers should too. We've talked about how the Rangers probably had a better chance at 2025 than in 2024. So I still think the Rangers could go out and get a controllable piece, but I think rentals should be totally off the table at this point. You want controllable bat, controllable reliever. Could the Rangers still go out and get a guy like Luis Robert, a guy that's still under control for a number of years? Absolutely, if you feel like it's the right move. So maybe the Rangers still will be buyers. I think a lot of people who are kind of melting down today in Rangers Nation, you forget the Rangers are still going to be a good ball club next year. They're not going anywhere. They still got a number of guys that are going to keep them competitive. And a whole season with DeGrom and Josh Young is going to go a long way. If Josh Smith continues to get better, that's going to go a long way. So I don't think that it's totally out of the realm of possibility that CY still goes out and gets a controllable outfielder or a controllable bat or reliever of some kind. It's just going to have to be for the right price. But right now, you have got to be listening to every team that's calling on guys that are on expiring or year and a half expiring contracts. So I think that the sweep kind of sealed that. Maybe if the Rangers take 2 out of 3 in Toronto, you're not taking those phone calls. Hey, guys, it's a waste of time. We're fine. We're a game or 2 games out of first place. We're not selling. Now, I think you take some phone calls, at least just to see, right? At least just to see what we're potentially going to be able to get. So if you are going to trade a guy like Evo, okay, let's just throw this out there. If you're going to trade Evo, the prospects you get better be major league ready next year, because next year is a year that you can compete. So if you're going to trade a guy like Nate Eovaldi, you better be getting somebody that's ready in 2025 and ready to produce. I'm not trading Nate Eovaldi to get a high A guy. I'm just not. I'm trading for prospects that are going to be ready next year in 2025, if at all possible. Now, if you're trading Lorenzen or Urania, you're probably going to have to settle for a guy that is in maybe double A, high A. But I'll tell you, I'm not going to be trading away Evo or my prized roster guys for a guy that is 3-4 years off. At this point, you're trading Nate Eovaldi for a prospect that very well may be ready at the start of next year, who's going to be getting a spring training invite. Forget like a multi-piece deal. Give me one prospect that's going to be ready next year. If you're going to be trading Nate Eovaldi, maybe that's not realistic. I just think if the Rangers are going to do a sale, they've got to totally optimize 2025 and have that in mind. I don't think they need to be locked in on 26, 27. The Rangers window is now. The window is now. So if you're going to be making a big sale at the deadline, you have got to make sure that you're putting yourself and keeping yourself in a good position for 2025. That is what I would like to see if the Rangers sell people off. But my stance has softened a little bit on selling people. There was one point where I probably would have said absolutely not, especially after Thursday's game when the Rangers won their 5th straight. Now, I'm open on Andrew Heaney. I'm open on Urania, Lorenzen. I want to hear deals on Nate Eovaldi. Look, on maybe guys, I know Aaron, you commented, Spores, Leclerc. I want to hear, what's your offer? What's your offer on Kirby Yates? What's your offer on David Robertson? I wouldn't have been taking that call after the Rangers' 5th win in a row, or if they would have won even 1 game this series. I think the Rangers could have avoided selling more than Lorenzen or selling Urania. I think Urania, Lorenzen would have been for sure's either way, But I think at this point, you got to listen to other people. I think the offense this weekend, the numbers look better than what actually happened on the field. And this was going to be another one of my talking points. So I'm glad we didn't get shut out. 7-3 is the final today. Rangers drop their third game in a row and get swept in Toronto against a selling Toronto Blue Jays team. I think the fact that the Blue Jays swept us in a weird way has to give you a little bit of hope if you're a Rangers fan that we too can probably sell off some guys and still be competitive, especially considering Josh Young, Evan Carter. I don't know about Evan Carter. I know there's reports all is fine and he's going to be back in August, whatever. The back thing has me a little bit worried, so I'm not really counting on Evan Carter. If we get him back in August, great. But Josh Young, Malley, DeGrom, Bradford, getting those four guys back, who knows what this team could do down the stretch. I still think the Rangers could sell off some arms and probably still play some competitive baseball in August and in September. And maybe if they get lucky into October. I think the Blue Jays and what they just did to us has to give you some hope that the Rangers can sell off some guys and still potentially be competitive. I don't know. I don't think a lot of us probably have a ton of hope for that based on how the season has gone, but I think that the Jays just showed you that it is possible. So at this point, I'm probably soft selling, maybe trying to go out and acquire a controllable bat or a relief pitcher, much like what's been reported. But you're not going to get a rental bat at this point. You're not going to get a guy that's only around for half a season. I mean, you're really not. So you can go get somebody controllable right now if you're buying. I think that would be fine. But don't go get any rentals, please. I don't think that it's worth giving up any kind of prospect for a rental half a season at this point. If you're going to go buy somebody controllable. Hey, this is what you got to focus on right now. The World Series glory from last year. Look, I'm still going to be super competitive as a fan and want CY to do the right thing. So I'm not giving up on the season. But in moments like this, I absolutely do focus on the glory of last year, winning our first World Series 100%. So let's talk through a few things. The offense today. We mentioned the fact that they didn't get shut out. They did out-hit the Blue Jays, crazy enough, today. Rangers out-hit the Blue Jays 10-9. But I think that that really tells you exactly what you need to know about this team. This team, by and large, over the course of the last 106 games, this team has been one of the least clutch teams in the American League, in the majors, all season long, in my humble opinion. And what I mean by that, and you can't just look at the runners in scoring position average because it's not bottom of the barrel for the Rangers, runners in scoring position average. But I want you to just consider a couple of moments in this game. So in the first inning, you're coming off two straight losses. And I know Josh Smith hit a home run today, and a lot of people might not want to knock on Josh Smith. But Josh Smith, in the first inning, you got runners on first and third, right? You got runners on first and second. It wasn't in the top of the first. Josh Smith didn't come through in that spot either. First and second, nobody out. He grounds into a force out, sends Marcus Semien to third, and then he's on first. But I think it was a little bit later on in the game. Maybe it was top of the third. It's top of the third. So Leody strikes out, Semien singles, Corey singles. Josh Smith gets called out on strikes. One out, runners on first and third, and Josh Smith takes a pitch that was kind of like outer half up. It was a slurve, so kind of one of those backdoor breaking pitches that catches the zone, but it caught a lot of the zone. Josh Smith going down, called on strike three there, was a backbreaker in a game where it's 3-0 in the top of the third, and you need a productive out. You've got first and third, Seager and Semien just got back-to-back hits, and Josh Smith gets called out on strikes. And it was the same thing in the first inning, although Wyatt Langford got absolutely robbed in that first inning. Absolutely robbed in the first inning on a pitch that was clearly below the zone. That would have been, I think, a big, big call in the Rangers' favor. Who knows what would have happened had Wyatt Langford not got called out on strikes. I mean, it was a clear pitch below the zone. Wyatt Langford has been getting screwed over with the strike zone pretty much all season long, it feels like. And then Dolley, after the Langford strikeout in the first, lines out. So we don't get any runs after both Simeon and Seager reached first on throwing error, I think was the first call. Throwing error, Simeon reaches. Corey Seager singles on a sharp line drive. Not able to get anything after getting both your first two hitters on base. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. The Rangers in those spots don't produce. They can hit the ball. They can get hits. They got 10 today. But they can't get the big hit when they need it most. It's been coming a little bit more. Like, I know Adolis had a couple of two-out RBIs. But when you need it most, it just feels like this team can't get the big hit. They can't get the big hit. They can't break games open. If they get one hit, they can't make it two. Again, it's rare that the Rangers are breaking games open this year. They're maybe getting one or two runs scored out of a bases loaded and one out opportunity. It's very rare the Rangers are clearing the bases. They're getting maybe one RBI, maybe two, and calling it a day. And that's really tough when you can't produce the crooked numbers more often than not. So for me, Josh Schmidt, again, glad that he hit the home run today. It made it a 7-3 ball game. But Josh Schmidt in the first inning and then Josh Schmidt in the third inning not producing when we really needed him to when the game was still there for the take. It's only 3-0 in the third inning. That's like not an impossibility. And then what happens in the bottom half of the third inning after the wasted opportunities by Josh Schmidt and then Wyatt Langford, of course, lines out to the left fielder. It's tough. Then the Jays come back and they score three in the bottom of the third inning, and now the game is out of reach. So for me, the Rangers have been very what I call unclutch this year, more often than not. There's been a few bright spots here and there. We talked about a few of them, but this team has not been clutch enough. When they need the answer, when they're down and you need a response, more often than not, they haven't come through. And that has been a big issue this year, and it was today. You can't get Corey Seager and Marcus Semien on to lead off the game and get nothing out of it. That's what I'm talking about. You can't get Corey Seager and Marcus Semien on in the third inning with one out and have runners at first and third with one out in the third inning and get nothing out of it. That is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about that this Rangers team just hasn't been good enough at as a whole this entire season. Of course, you could sit there and point out a few different moments recently where they have come through, but by and large, I would say, no, this team has not come through enough when an answer, when a response, when runs need to be scored. We can pad stats in the box score all day long, and I can spin you a story today to make it seem like this game was a lot closer than it really was, and boo-hoo, the Rangers got some tough luck with John Gray. The Rangers didn't hit today when they needed it. The Rangers could have potentially won this game or made it a lot more competitive, but they didn't come through when they needed to. So I'm not even going to completely put this one on the John Gray injury. The offense scored one run through eight innings, and they were fortunate to get a Josh Schmidt home run in the eighth to make this one look a little bit better. So I'm not going to put this one on Jonathan Hernandez and put it on the pitching, the John Gray injury. The offense still was terrible today. They sucked. They couldn't come through in big moments. And it's a big reason for me why I'm still sitting here saying I'm listening to any offers on expiring contracts at this point. I'm listening. Am I pulling the trigger? No. But am I listening to everything? Absolutely. If you want Evo, give me your best offer. I might still say no, but give me your best offer. You want Andrew Heaney? Give me your best offer. I do think they need to trade Lorenzen and Urania 100%. Those guys need to be gone. You need to get what you can from them. Andrew Heaney, I would lean towards trading an Andrew Heaney type. And that sucks because I love Heen Dog and he's been great for us. But he's gone next year. And he's going to be getting paid next year if he continues to pitch like this. It would be a shame to not make the playoffs and not get anything for Andrew Heaney with how well he's been pitching. Now, Evo, I think, is a little different. I don't know if Evo is going to exercise the player option or not. And they were reporting on Nate Eovaldi that he might be a guy, kind of like Aroldis Chapman did, if you remember. Aroldis Chapman pitched for the Yankees. They traded him to the Cubs. He won the World Series. Then he went back and re-signed with the Yankees in the offseason. There were some reports that maybe Evo would be willing to do that if we traded him. He's a Texas guy, likes Chris Young a lot. They've got a great relationship. Now, I don't know if you want to risk it. I don't know if you want to risk it if you trade Evo, I think there is a legitimate risk he doesn't come back. Who knows? He does have the $20 million player option. I'm not sure if he's going to execute it or not. He could, I don't know if he could make more than 20 mil. I would think he probably could make more than 20 mil a year. You guys let me know what you think in the comments. Is Evo going to get more than 20 mil in the open market next year? I would say he's at least getting that. I think a team is going to at least pay Evo 20 mil. Maybe he could get a team to pay him 25 on the high end. I don't think Evo's getting more than 25 a year. So maybe Evo opts in next year on a player option if we keep him. And I think you could absolutely sell Evo on, hey, dude, we're going to be good in 2025. We're going to keep you. Maybe you try and work something out with him under the table. You know what I mean? Behind closed doors, those conversations absolutely get had. You know they're talking to Evo right now. So I'm listening to everybody. Max Scherzer, would a team be interested in him? I just don't know. If you could trade Max Scherzer, I think you probably are open to it. We're not bringing back Max Scherzer next year. I don't think the Rangers are going to re-sign Max. I think this is the final year. I'm sure he can maybe catch on next year with the team, but I think this is Scherzer's last year with the Rangers. I don't see us bringing him back. But Scherzer's come out and kind of said that he's not super open to trade options. That can change quickly. But Scherzer has kind of come out and said he's not super open to being traded. So I don't know. I'm listening to everybody. You want Max Scherzer? Let's go. Give me your best offer if you want Max Scherzer. I don't know what the Rangers are going to be doing over the next 48 hours. I'm very, very interested. I think you could still go out and buy a controllable bat. Somebody that's going to be around for 2025. Same thing with the relief pitcher. But I really, really feel like you got to be listening and you got to consider trading off some guys at this point. It doesn't have to be a fire sale. Doesn't have to be a hard sale, but it's got to be a sale. I think it's got to be somewhere in between a hard sell and a soft sell, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think you need to trade Nate Eovaldi, but I do think you need to start thinking about trading guys like Andrew Heaney, maybe a Jose Leclerc type. I think maybe you take calls on Yates and Robertson too. It's going to suck because those guys have been nails for us all year, but you got to take a call on just about everybody with an expiring contract. Although, isn't Robertson, if I'm not mistaken, Robertson's around for next year too, right? I think we got him on a two-year deal. Maybe I'm wrong on that one. I know Yates is a one-year deal. Let me get to some comments. Aaron, what's up, my guy? If you're still around, Aaron says, missed the game in the Lou. Cards walked it off. Shame the Rangers couldn't have won too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Would have been nice to get a win today. I think a win today, I don't want to say changes everything, but it kind of does. You win today, and then you win Monday, and who knows? If you would have won today, you would have gained a game on the Astros. So you would have only been 3.5 back with a win today. Astros lose tomorrow, and you win in St. Louis. Now we're cooking with gas. You're only down 2.5 games going into the deadline. So I really feel like a win today and a win tomorrow would have gone a long way. Now I feel like you really got to listen a lot more than what you were planning on doing after Thursday's 5-game winning streak reached its peak. Let's keep going here. Gio, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. So Gio says, must win game tomorrow. Go Rangers. I don't even know if I'm trying to really think about this one on the fly, y'all. And I thought about it as the Rangers game was reaching its end today. It's like, does tomorrow, how much does tomorrow really matter? That was my big question. And I don't know if I have a solid answer for you yet, but I really was thinking hard on how much does tomorrow really matter for Chris Young? If the Rangers win tomorrow, suddenly does that change everything? I mean, the reality is if the Rangers lose tomorrow and the Astros lose tomorrow, I don't know. I mean, they're still 4.5 out. If you lose tomorrow and the Astros win tomorrow, now you're, 5.5 out? I don't know how much tomorrow makes a difference or not. I think there's an argument to be made. You still have a lot of games with Houston left. You don't necessarily need tomorrow to be like the end-all, be-all day. You've still got games with Houston and Seattle left in this season. If you can hang around that 4-5, I think 6 would probably be high-end, but if you can hang around that 4 or 5 games back, you technically still control things to an extent because you're going to be facing those teams head-to-head the rest of the way. Now, the Rangers' schedule, I don't know how many games they have left with Houston. I'm going to try and look it up on the fly for you guys right now while we're talking. But I will say this. You've got probably at least four games left with Houston. Let's see. I'm pulling up the printable schedule right now. So in July, St. Louis finishes it out. You've got three home games against Houston in early August, and that's it. So you've got three games left against Houston, and you've got seven games left against Seattle. So you've got a lot of games left against Seattle. You've got three games left against Houston. So there's still an element there of, hey, if you can just hang around four or five games back, maybe you can still pull this off. So I'm not sure how much tomorrow's game matters or not in CY's mind. In fact, I kind of almost feel like after today, after you just got swept in Toronto, I feel like CY's path is pretty clear at this point, regardless of a win tomorrow. Now, if you win tomorrow and the Astros lose and you're only 3.5 back, yeah, maybe that changes things a little bit. But I almost feel like after today, the path for CY is probably a lot more clear. Just my take on it. Let me keep going. John, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Hey, early, late, on time, whatever, man. Thanks for hanging out. I appreciate you. Feel like we are cursed this year, John says. Losing Gray before his start was the nail in the coffin for the Jays to sweep. Agreed. I don't think any Rangers fan that's been watching this team all year thought that there was going to be a positive outcome after John Gray came out without even throwing a first official pitch. What I saw in the game today was hard to watch. I turned it off early and took a freaking nap. Yeah, y'all, I didn't watch the game late. When it went to 7-1, I was not watching any longer. I followed on my MLB app, you know, just game day, and did the play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch through there. Didn't listen, just watched on the app. So we all got to do that from time to time. Seriously, we all got to just say, this isn't the Rangers' day, and I got to go do something productive. This is kind of a job for me, so obviously I'm still locked in, win, loss to the little things. But even I got to turn off the broadcast sometimes and just follow on my phone. So I get it. But look, today, the Rangers game was kind of doomed from the start. I think maybe you thought in the back of your mind, maybe the offense can keep us in this one. Berríos had not been good of late. That's the other thing. I think he had like a 6.69 ERA in his last seven starts. I mean, embarrassingly bad. And he goes seven innings, one run. I mean, but that's the Rangers for you this year, making pitchers that have been bad look really good. So it was one of those games today. And at this point, like I said, the Rangers have got to keep those phone lines wide open. See what you can get. Don't have to sell everybody, but you got to see what teams are willing to offer at this point. With 2025 in mind, the Rangers will be competitive next year. You're not selling off everybody. But I do think you've got to be thinking about 2025 first and foremost right now. And then, again, think about what the Jays did to us this weekend. If the Jays can do it, the Rangers can sell some guys and still win some ballgames. It's possible. It's possible. This team hasn't inspired a lot of confidence that that's going to happen, but it is possible. If the Jays can sweep a team in the middle of selling off a bunch of players, why can't the Rangers do it when they get Josh Young and Malley and DeGrom and Bradford back? But look, honestly, with Andrew Heaney being as good as he's been this year, he's probably going to get paid next year. You've got a lefty and Cody Bradford coming back, so you'd still have Bradford and Lats in the bullpen. I really don't know why you wouldn't be considering trading Andrew Heaney at this point. I think Heaney has got to be a guy that they consider trading. I would have said absolutely not had they won this series 2 out of 3, even maybe 1-1. But I think you got to be trading Andrew Heaney at this point. I don't know. Disagree, agree. I think you've got two lefties in the pen. I know Heaney's been one of our best, but you've got Malley. You've got DeGrom coming back within a few weeks. I think Heaney, Urania, and then Lorenzen all need to be probably guys that you strongly consider. Lorenzen and Urania especially shipping off. Trust me, I would have loved for us to have gotten Shohei in free agency. I don't think that was ever going to happen. I don't even know. I feel like we even got a little bit of false hope that maybe the Rangers were going to sign him in free agency. But I think as things got closer to spring training, we all kind of saw, yeah, that was never happening. I thought maybe to trade for him was possibly happening last year. Imagine 2023 team with Shohei. Whew, that would have been a good team. That would have been an even better team if that's even possible. Imagine the 2023 Rangers with Shohei. My goodness. Gio says the bottom eighth and ninth hitters in the bottom of the Rangers lineup need to be better. And that's why I think the Rangers may still go out and get a controllable bat with Evan Carter being injured and not being able to come back as quickly. I do think you could still go out and get a controllable bat 100%. So I think that that's very much in play. Could the Rangers go out and get a Luis Robert, a guy that's controllable beyond 2024 and even 2025? I think Robert is controllable for several more years. The only thing with Robert that I don't like is he strikes out a little too much, but I love the speed. I love the power. But Robert is kind of a little bit of a Dolly type player, if that makes sense. He's got pop. I like the way he plays the game. He's obviously got a little bit more wheels than Dolly out there in the outfield. But that would be the type of player you might consider getting, somebody that is controllable, knowing that in 2025, you're going to be good still. I do agree. The Rangers are getting absolutely nothing out of their eighth and ninth spots right now. Jonah Heim was eighth. Leody ninth. Leody, over his last seven games, has been hitting 158. Leody 133 over his last 15. Do y'all remember when Leody was hitting like 400 over his last 15 games a couple weeks ago? And I told y'all, look, this is how it goes with him. He will be hot as ever for about 2 or 3 weeks and then fall off a freaking cliff. And that's what Leody's done. Leody hitting .133 over his last 15. Not good. Hitting .158 over his last seven. So Leody Taveras, we'll see. I know Leody has been somewhat mentioned in the trade talks as well. Garcia has been mentioned somewhat in the trade talks. Duran, he's homered in 4 straight games. Those of y'all that are tuning in a little bit late, Zeke Duran, I believe, I don't know if it ended today, but Duran's homered in 4 straight games. I think it's time to trade Zeke Duran. I don't know what you're going to do with him. He's blocked at almost every position. You don't want Zeke Duran in the outfield. There's got to be a team that you can sell on trading for Zeke Duran. I think somebody's got to be interested. He's got a great arm. We know that. He plays a pretty good third base, and he could probably play multiple spots in the infield. Homered in 4 straight. When's the stock going to be higher? When is it going to be higher? I would submit it's probably not going to be any higher. Maybe Zeke Duran is a guy you can throw in to get one of those controllable bats that's still out there. Colin, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate you. We're just going up and down comments right now. So you got a question, you got something to throw in. Let's get it all out right now. Let's vent it out. Do a little Rangers baseball therapy session right here. Hey, bud, thanks so much for the comment. Appreciate you. Astros facing Skeens tomorrow, and Evo hopefully gets the Rangers a good outing tomorrow. So hopefully we can get Astros loss, Rangers win. That would put us 3.5 back. I do think that the Astros, I'm going to check out that game before I run my mouth too much here. If the Astros were to come back today, that would be an even bigger nail in the coffin. Looks like the Dodgers were able to pull it off, though. Dodgers win this one 6-2 over the Astros. Thank goodness. Astros sweeping the Dodgers would have been worst-case scenario. Rangers would have dropped 5.5 back. 4.5, you get a win tomorrow. Astros lose. Now you're 3.5 back. All is not lost. All is not lost if that happens. Look, even if you win tomorrow and the Astros beat Skeens, 4.5, you still have 3 games left against the Astros. That series just becomes like totally more important than any other when you start losing some of these games and the Astros are winning theirs. It's just tough. That series is going to become super huge with the Astros in a couple weeks here. Scott, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you, bud. He says, I hope they plan to pitch Evo, Max, DeGrom for Astros series, bring the big guns. That Astros series is still a little ways off, but it is going to be here August 5th, 6th, 7th. That's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that's going to be after Boston. So we're going to go to St. Louis for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday's an off day. We got Boston next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we've got Houston at home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, if we want to play out how it works, it would probably be Evo. Evo's going tomorrow, I think. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off day. Evo's probably going to be pitching against Boston, unfortunately. Now, if you pitch Evo on Friday. That wouldn't work. That's only 3 days rest. If you pitch Evo on Saturday, I just don't even think there's a way for them to do it, unfortunately. I think with the way that it's lining up right now, I don't think Evo is going to be able to pitch against the Astros, because any way that you slice it, maybe, like I said, he could pitch game, what would that be, game three against the Astros on Wednesday the 7th, but that would still be 3 days rest. I just don't think they're going to do it. So it's unfortunate, but I think the way things are lining up, Evo's probably not going to be a factor in that Houston series, unfortunately. But maybe they'll get creative and do something to make it work. I don't know. Maybe they got something up their sleeve. Let's keep going here. Yes, trade Zeke Duran. I think the stock is as high as it's ever going to be. He's just homered in four straight games. Let's get Zeke Duran traded for a controllable bat or a controllable reliever that is focused on 2025. Maybe they help us this year. Ideally, they do. But I really, really think you need to get rid of Zeke Duran while the stock is high. You can show them the stats in AAA. Zeke Duran, we're going to pull him up for you right now. And we'll keep going to other comments while we do so. But Zeke Duran has been hot of late. I just don't think at this point they're going to be able to get anything better for Zeke Duran than what they're going to be able to get right now. They made the mistake last year of not trading Zeke Duran when he was hitting over 300 going into the month of June. I really hope they don't make that same mistake again. So Zeke Duran, in his game log, I'm going to see if I can find it for y'all, because you know how it goes. Sometimes the minor league stats, not always available for you, but I'm going to see if I can find it here. So looks like they're showing me a bunch of stats. Okay, great. They do show it. So Zeke Duran, he has homered in four straight games, but he did go, looks like, just 1-for-2 last night and did not homer last night. But Zeke Duran been hitting a lot better over the last week. I think over his last several games, the average is looking pretty good. So he's only hitting .256 so far in AAA this year, but four bombs, 15 RBI. I don't think the stock is going to get any higher on Zeke Duran. Hopefully the Red Sox beat Seattle tomorrow. That's just like a catch-22, isn't it? Because we don't really want the Red Sox coming into the series in Arlington super hot. But yes, we do need them to beat up on the Mariners a little bit. Aaron says, for anybody listening on podcast, Apple or Spotify, I've seen lots of Rangers fans here already. Figures to be quite a bit of blue at Busch this year. Sweet. That's awesome. Of course, Busch Stadium, kind of a haunting place for the Rangers, if you know what I mean. I'm not going to say anything more, but I hope the Rangers go into Busch and do some damage, exercise some demons. That would be phenomenal if the Rangers could go in. Unfortunately, the Cardinals are playing some good baseball right now, and that's just how it goes sometimes. But the Cards right now, they, I think, have won a couple games in a row, only 4-6 over their last 10. Maybe they have only won one in a row. I don't know. Goldschmidt walked it off today from what it looks like. And then yesterday they lost. Friday, they Maybe I'm wrong. So they just dropped a series to the Nationals. Maybe I'm thinking about earlier on in the week. I think they were winning some games, but they actually just dropped 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. So maybe we're catching the Cardinals at a good time. Will Josh Jung play on Friday? I hope he does. I was hoping he was going to play tomorrow. I mean, I know I'm being greedy, but I was hoping we were going to see Josh Jung tomorrow, man. We need him. We need his bat in the lineup. Now, look, I haven't heard that he's going to be playing tomorrow. We need that guy in the lineup. I mean, if he can play, we need him to play. So we'll see. I didn't see how Josh Jung did yesterday. I'm going to see if I can look that up for you guys right quick. But if Josh Jung can swing the bat and isn't having soreness or any complications, I would love to see him come into St. Louis to play in that Cardinals series. From the lack of announcements for that happening, and things change quickly, y'all, so who knows? But I would love to see it. I'm not going to hold my breath. And last night, let me see if I can pull up the Frisco score here. Let me get it here. I got it. Sweet. Last night in Frisco, Josh Jung went 1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. So look, isn't that just how the season's going? Not exactly what you want to be seeing from Josh Jung. At least the positive is he's collected a hit in each game. And look, when you're on a rehab, or when you're on a minor league assignment, you're playing around with different things. I don't know if you can take the numbers, the stats as gospel truth, but look, at least Josh Jung is getting a hit in each one of his games that he's played down in Frisco. Today, don't know what's going on in Frisco. Going to look it up right now. Today's game, I don't know if it's been played yet or not. Looks like they will be playing tonight at 6:05 Texas time. So we'll see if Josh Jung is even in the lineup. I don't think they've announced lineups yet for Frisco. So we'll see. That would be a real quick turnaround. He'd have to play tonight, get on a plane. Not impossible, but we'll see if Josh Jung plays tonight in Frisco. I would assume he does, unless there was some kind of complication. But I would love to see Josh Jung back in action. Would love to see it. So real quick, just want to say, and I know I've already said this at the beginning, but I know I've got some people in and out. Thank you so much for being with us today to talk out this tough series and tough loss to the Jays. A lot of Rangers content out there. Thanks for choosing Right on Rangers. If you're not following the account, not subscribed to the channel, please do so. I'd be very grateful. Stay up to date every time we go live and keep up with our latest and greatest content. Appreciate you guys. We are going to look ahead to tomorrow. Now, we've already talked a little bit about tomorrow's game. Let's go ahead and lock in on it. And then, like I said, I'll be checking the comments. So anything you guys want to ask about, anything you want to drop in, please do it. And we'll talk about it before I get off for today. So tomorrow, it is going to be Nate Eovaldi throwing against, I don't want to butcher this name, Palante or Payante. Not sure. So we're going to take a look at his numbers. Looks like he's been playing pretty well of late. He has a 2.82, the Cardinals starter does, 2.82 ERA in his last seven games. He's coming off a start in Pittsburgh where he went six innings, one earned run. Before that, the Cardinals' probable starter for tomorrow was in Kansas City, 6 1/3, four earned runs. Before that, in Pittsburgh again, seven innings pitched, one earned run. So the Cardinals' starter for tomorrow, Andre Payante, we're going to go with that. He's been pitching pretty well. So he's a righty, and of late, the Rangers have struggled against right-handed pitchers. Seems to have flip-flopped. We couldn't hit a lefty earlier, and now we're having trouble hitting righties. You just can't make it up. So the Cardinals starter for tomorrow, pretty good in his last seven outings and in his last three outings as well. I don't think that the Rangers have a lot of numbers against him. I would imagine probably not. We'll see how Evo has fared against some of the Cardinals hitters. So let's check this out. There are a few numbers against Payante. Doley 0-1, Grossman 0-1, Nate Lowe 0-1, Seager 0-1, Simeon 1-1, Leody 0-1. So super small sample size, but a lot of offers. A lot of guys, though, only with one at-bat. Hard to really say with one at-bat to work with how the Rangers are going to be faring tomorrow. Now, on the other side, Arenado has looks like seven at-bats, 2-for-7 in his career against Evo. Carpenter, 6-for-12 in his career versus Evo. Crawford looks like 7-for-17, something like that. 6-for-17, 7-for-17. And then Goldschmidt is actually, I think, 2-for-12 against Evo. So nobody except Brandon Crawford with a home run. And I don't know, are they playing Brandon Crawford a lot at shortstop right now? Maybe, because I think Edman is still out with an injury. So maybe they are. Mason Wynn, they're playing him, I think, mostly at shortstop at this point. So not a lot of guys with hits against Evo. I'm sure Nate is going to go out and pitch a really good game. Look, isn't it one of those weird deals where Nate is pitching literally right before the trade deadline? I don't know, y'all. We'll see. I don't know if the trade deadline messes with a guy like Evo. I would imagine probably not, but big start for Evo tomorrow for a number of reasons, keeping the Rangers competitive, but also, you know, there's some teams that are watching this last start from Evo and trying to make up their minds about what they're going to be offering for him. Don't know if CY is going to pull the trigger. We'll see what happens, but this is a big start for Nate Eovaldi tomorrow in St. Louis. Looks like it is a 6:45 Texas time start, and the Cardinals coming off a series loss to the Nationals. Maybe the Rangers are catching the cards at a good time with some good pitchers lined up. You got Evo. You figure Scherzer throws tomorrow. And then you figure Andrew Heaney after that, if he's still around. That's the thing, right? You don't know who's going to be around. It might have to be somebody else. Maybe Mally comes up and makes his first start of the season after Scherzer. I think that might line up appropriately, honestly. I don't know. It might be, that might have been Andrew Heaney's last start as a Ranger. As sad as I am to say that out loud, I wonder if we've seen our last of Andrew Heaney with how badly the Rangers played in Toronto. Look, I'm a big Heen Dog fan. I love Andrew Heaney. He's been outstanding for us this year. I do wonder, some of these Rangers players, if we've seen them for the last time, especially some of the pitchers. Time will tell, right? We'll see what Chris Young decides to do. All right, y'all, let me check the comments real quick one more time, and then we'll do the ALS roundup, and we'll check MLB headlines. Doesn't look like we've got anything new at all, so I'm going to go ahead and do the ALS roundup and get us out of here for the day. So we already talked about the Astros losing 6-2 to the Dodgers. Fortunately, the Dodgers are able to salvage a game in that series. I was really hoping they would take 2 out of 3, but the Astros get a big walk-off win last night. Mariners beat up on the White Sox. White Sox are, I think, at a 15-game losing streak right now. I'm telling y'all, if you want to make a lot of money, just keep betting the White Sox to lose. I don't think that team is going to be winning a lot of games down the stretch, especially when they trade Luis Robert, if and when they do. But the Mariners actually got to Fetty today, and they looks like jumped out to a 5-1 lead after the fifth inning. So the Mariners get a 6-3 win. Astros lose 6-2. Angels and A's are playing, and it looks like every game is final right now. Wow. No Sunday night baseball tonight? No, I got to be looking at that wrong. Okay, good. Refresh. 6-3 right now, A's in the bottom of the fourth inning. I think that's probably the ideal outcome, although the A's and Angels are almost even right now at the bottom of the AL West. So honestly, whoever wins, it really doesn't matter too much. Sunday night baseball. I could have guessed this. Yankees, Red Sox, Rodon throw in tonight. Hauk throw in for the Red Sox. So we'll see what happens in that game. I always love watching that Red Sox-Yankee series. I told y'all, just a classic matchup. So makes sense. It's on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll probably go watch that here in a little bit. After a couple hours, I think that game's coming on, so great. The standings for today, let's check them out. AL West standings. So we've got the Astros leading the division, along with the Mariners, who are now tied for first place with the Astros. Looks like the Astros are up 1 percentage point, 0.001 percentage point. Astros 524 win percentage, Mariners 523. But for all intents and purposes, tied for the division lead. Rangers are 4.5 games out, 6 games out of the wild card with about 56 games left to play. Not an impossibility, right? Mathematically, there's still a lot that can happen. But at the end of the day, time is running out. Rangers have got to piece together some wins, and they've got to win series that they're expected to win. Yes, it's baseball. Yes, anything can happen, but they have got to win series against weaker competition. And they've got some good competition coming up, unfortunately. You look at the Rangers' schedule. Boston's a good team. Houston's a good team. New York is a good team. Then they play Boston again in Fenway. Minnesota's a good team. Pittsburgh's a good team. Cleveland's a good team. I just told you, that was in order, all the series that we have coming up this month. We've got St. Louis, Boston, Houston, New York, Boston, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Then finally, on August 27th, we play the White Sox again in Chicago. And then we go to Oakland. So until August 27th, we're playing good teams the entire month until August 27th. Unfortunate, but it is what it is. Our month of September gets a lot easier. In September, we play LA, we play the Angels, we play the Diamondbacks, the Mariners. I don't know if you consider that an easy series or not, but I think easier. Toronto, we play them at home. We play Seattle again at home, then Oakland, then the Angels on the road to end the season. So September, a lot easier than August. August is going to be a little bit of a gauntlet for the Rangers, unfortunately. All right, y'all. What's up, Blake, by the way? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. Let me check on a couple of my other ones. I'm going to check on Instagram here. What's up, guys? If anybody's still tuning in there, and my people on TikTok, what's up to you guys? Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to scroll through the comments, see if we got anything from TikTok. It's probably been a second, but I'm scrolling through right now. Ooh, I gotta go up a ways. Doesn't look like anything recently, but I appreciate y'all tuning in. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you, guys. All right, y'all. Let's go ahead And let's close this one out for the day. Again, 6:45 Texas time, start tomorrow. Evo on the bump. Let's see what we can do. I am going to be on the edge of my seat, refreshing Twitter and socials for the Rangers and any potential deals they'll have made. We might have to hop on and do another live if there's a big trade or anything like that. We'll have to hop on and talk it through. So we might have to do a little emergency right on Rangers press conference to see what happens with the trading market. But I hope y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. Do something fun today. Hang out with a friend. Hang out with your family. Do something to flush this one out of your mind, this loss and this entire series. That's what I'm going to try and do. And let's just focus on what's ahead of us. We shall see what happens. But if I don't see you tomorrow after the live, hopefully you'll be able to catch us on the replay, or we'll see you later on in the week. Hope you come back, though, and hang out. We'll be here. Win or loss, rain or shine, trading away a bunch of names or not trading away a bunch of names. We will be here at Right on Rangers, giving you the post-game analysis after every game, y'all. That is a true fan. Rain or shine, we're not giving up on them. We're not giving up. There's still hope. They're not mathematically out of it. So you are going to continue to see us stay positive, glass half full, even on the toughest of days. And this is one of them. But I hope you all have a great rest of the Sunday. Thank you again for tuning in. If you know somebody that loves the Rangers, loves baseball, please share one of my videos with them. Tell them about the channel. I would be very, very much appreciative of that. Hope you guys have a great rest of the week ahead. Come back again soon tomorrow after the Cardinals-Rangers game. That would be great. All right, y'all. As I always say, God bless. Go Rangers. See y'all later. Bye now.